1 Kings chapter 17 verses 10 to 14. Elijah has been hiding in the Kereth Rabin, and the Lord has commanded him, verse 9, to go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. And God gave him a promise. I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food. She doesn't know it, but that is God's command. It's his decree, that's the point. And verse 10, so Elijah went to Zarephath. Here he is. God's command has come, and he is obeyed. He has gone out, in a sense, not knowing where he's going. Well, he knows he's going to Zarephath. He knows a widow is there, but he's going by faith. He's got no mobile phone here. He's got no email. He can't contact here. He has to travel, and my, he has to travel. He has to travel back across the Jordan, traveling west through Israel, until he comes to Sidon. It's a remarkable journey. What is God about moving this man from Israel across the Jordan east, now moving him back west? God is working his purpose out. And his purpose is that this widow, though she is a pagan and though she doesn't know it, is going to provide for this great prophet. When he came to the town gate, there's a world of experience there. He has to travel on foot. He isn't taking a jet. He has to walk. And he has to walk and walk and walk all those miles. And when he gets there, when he gets to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. What a piece of luck. What a remarkable chance. No, my friend, God, the Lord Jehovah, is working his purpose out. I have provided for you. I have commanded a widow. I have arranged it. Think of all the events that must have taken place to bring this about. It's like that moth in Brazil, isn't it? A butterfly flapping its wings. The effect is felt everywhere. Everything is ordered here. And so he speaks to this widow. He called to her and he said, would you bring me a little water in a jar that I can drink? Well, of course I'll give you some water. But and while you're about it, a piece of bread? As surely as the Lord your God lives, she replied. Yeah, he's not my God, he's your God. I'm only a pagan. But I don't have any bread. All I've got left in my house is a jar with a handful of flour in it and a little oil in a jug. That's all I've got left. Indeed, now, I'm out gathering a few sticks. I'm going to go home and light a fire and bake a small loaf out of this handful of flour and remaining portion of oil. And then I and my son, we will eat this and, well, then die. She is hopeless, helpless, bereaved, a widow, lonely, far from anywhere. Looks to me she's in poverty, in real poverty in the sense of hunger, famine. She's on the bread line, no, she's on the last loaf line. She's going to die. Give me a piece of bread, but I don't have any bread. Then Elijah says this to her, don't be afraid. Now there's a promise, there's a command, there's an invitation. Don't be afraid. And then their command comes, go home and do as you said. But first, here's the test. Make a small cake of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. And then make some for yourself and your son. That's a tremendous test of faith. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Not my name. I'm not speaking in arrogance. I'm speaking in the name of the Lord God, the Lord Jehovah. The jar of flour will not be used up. The jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain on the land. And we're back in provision again. What do we have here? Well, I can see here command of God. I can see here obedience to that command. I can see here trial. I can see here promise and more trial. I can see all these things mixed up. Indeed, I see the Christian life here, the godly life, the believer's life. I see the life of the saint of God here. I see Elijah being tested, but I see this pagan being tested, and I see both of them coming through, as we shall read the story, with flying colors. But at the moment, we leave it there. Here is the command. Here is the promise. Here is the assurance. Here is the need. I'm on the breadline. I'm dying. Provide for me. But the Lord will provide, the promise of God. No wonder the scriptures make so much of these principles. Look at Luke 4. Christ uses this woman as a tremendous example of God's sovereignty, pitching on Gentiles, passing by Jews. Luke chapter 4, in his first discourse, he makes this point. This is Romans 9-11. God's electing grace, God's sovereign grace, God's mercy stretching out his hands all day long to a disobedient people. I see Romans 9-11 here. God's electing grace, God's power, God's wisdom, God's determining grace, God's predestinating grace, the will of God. I see James 4 here. We shall continue here, we shall do this according to the will of God. I'm not one for always saying DV or God willing, but that's the truth of it, my friend, whether we say it or not. Brother and sister, it is God willing. It is DV, isn't it? And look at the strange ways God takes with us. Look at the map and see the journey that Elijah has to take from Israel across the ravine, the Jordan to the ravine, and now back across the Jordan through Israel and back over across into Sidon to Zarephath. What is God about? Well, his ways are above our ways. His thoughts are beyond our thoughts. Isaiah 55. How many scriptures are playing into this? The command of God, the promise of God, the obedience of man. Hebrews 11. There's no accident here. There's no luck here. There's no chance here. It didn't just happen. Oh, no. God is testing his servant. He's testing this woman. And we shall see they come through with flying colors, as I've said. This is Romans 6:17. Obedience from the heart, the truth entering the mind and obeying the truth, we've been told. This is James 2:14. It's hearing the word of God and doing it. It's James 2 and James 1, 2 and the rest of the book of James. It's obedience. Faith shows itself by works. It's Revelation 12:17. It's obedience to the commands of God. I have commanded, says God, verse 9. I now command you. I promise to you through Elijah. The oil and the flour will not waste. It's all there. Fear not. What a wonderful thing that is. Verse 13. Don't be afraid. How often that comes in Scripture. The promise of God again. It will not fail. Of course it's a miracle, my friend. Yeah, this is all miraculous. But brother and sister, we're miracles of grace. God's working miracles for us all the time. I hope tomorrow to be back with another discourse. But it's God willing, isn't it? What is my duty today? To hear the promise of God, to believe it, and to obey it, to walk in the command of God. Here is Elijah, a wonderful example. We shall see the widow too comes out well through it. But there is one great example in Scripture, Christ. He came into the world, he left the eternal glory, and came into the world at his Father's command. I have always done your will. I have finished and completed the work you gave me to do. He laid down his life on the cross. And now, brother and sister in Christ, we are washed in the blood of Christ, and we are clothed in that perfect obedience of Christ. But he did obey. He was obedient unto death, in life and in death. He obeyed his Father by coming. He obeyed his Father by staying here, living here, and dying here. And now he's risen and in glory, and one day will come again. Oh, yes, Christ is the glorious example, but he's more than the example. He is the accomplishment of our salvation, brother and sister. Unbeliever, if you're listening to this, it's all out of your realm, isn't it? God's ways are not our ways and so on. All this kind of talk is beyond you. But we live in this, we who are believers. This is our meat and drink, literally so in a sense, here, like this woman. This is her oil and flour. And it's Elijah's too. And God has his purpose. And remember, the famine is judgment upon Ahab and upon Israel. but God is providing for his people. I'd like just to close with a hymn by John Newton, On the Lord Will Provide. The theme today has been obedience, provision, and trial. Let's see what here the Lord provides. This is what Newton wrote. Though troubles assail and dangers affright, though friends should all fail and foes all unite, yet one thing secures us, whatever betide, the Scripture assures us, the Lord will provide. When Satan appears to stop up our path and fill us with fears, we triumph by faith. He cannot take from us, though oft he has tried, this heart-cheering promise, the Lord will provide. He tells us we're weak, our hope is in vain. The good that we seek, we ne'er shall obtain. But when such suggestions our spirits have plied, this answers all questions, the Lord will provide. No strength of our own, nor goodness we claim, yet since we have known the Saviour's great name, in this our strong tower for safety we hide. The Lord is our power, the Lord will provide. When life sinks apace, and death is in view, this word of his grace shall comfort us through. No fearing or doubting with Christ on our side, we hope to die shouting, the Lord will provide. May God bless these thoughts. These verses are rich in gospel truth, obedience, trust, confidence, hope, promise, walking in the way of God, and even seeing Christ, the glorious, glorious one who obeyed his Father and worked our everlasting salvation, brother and sister in Christ. May we today go on, whatever our state, trusting God's promise, obeying his command, and looking to the Lord to provide. He will provide. He has promised, and his promise will never fail.